I'm Usnavian. You probably never heard my name. Reports of my fame are greatly exaggerated.
Name?
Bond. James Bond.
Nothing good is born from lies. And greatness is not what you think.
Hello and welcome to Step and Repeat, your weekly movies and awards season podcast. I am your co-host, Matt.
And I am your other co-host, Andrew.
And today we have kind of a special episode. We'll be talking about our upcoming 2020 movies that we're looking forward to the most. And these can be range from indie movies to big budget blockbusters, book adaptations, and the like. I know there's a lot coming out this year. I personally haven't seen much or at all this year. I don't know if you have, Andrew, but we'll definitely dive into that a little bit. And apologies for the delay in the podcast. I've been fighting the flu, so sorry about that.
Matt has coronavirus.
Yeah, coronavirus. And you know what goes best with coronavirus?
Corona.
Lyme disease.
He's got jokes.
Bad joke. I guess we should just get right into it. Do you want to kick us off, Andrew?
Yeah.
2020 preview?
We're doing this episode at the end of January, which is honestly totally fine because January is a dumping ground for movies.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything this year so far. I've been... I
was actually having a conversation with a friend of the pod earlier this week, and he was asking for some recommendations, like, what should I see in theaters right now? I feel like I saw a lot at the end of 2019. I was like, well, there ain't much right now. Like, don't go see Doolittle.
Yeah.
So
The Gentleman, I heard, was okay, but... 1917 is in theaters.
I know, but that like came out last year, so like he had already seen everything. He has like that AMC movie pass.
Oh, so. Well, excuse me.
I know.
I do not have that pass.
Yeah, nor do I. Mm. But yeah, he was basically wondering like what's coming out. So this could be a good episode to show like what's coming out for the whole year.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
What's your top movie, would you say, you're most looking forward to?
Oh, No Time to Die, 100%.
Wow.
I can't wait for the new James Bond. I think it looks great. As much as I like, kind of don't like her, I'm curious to see or to hear Billie Eilish's song. Kind of excited isn't the right word, like when I found out she was singing it, but I guess intrigued, maybe. I'm really curious to see how this plays out. And I know they just made the announcement that this is kind of going to connect to all the other Bonds in the past. I'm just looking forward to Daniel Craig's final take on James Bond and see where they go with the franchise from here.
So when you said, I really don't like her, I thought you were going to say Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Oh.
And I was about to end the podcast.
Sorry. Billie Eilish. I'm not the biggest Billie Eilish. But congratulations to her and all her Grammys. I kind of consider her more of a talker than a singer. But, you know, to each his own. So.
No, I'm really looking forward to No Time to Die. In part. For me, because Phoebe Waller-Bridge came in to help write it.
So it's going to be not only great, but hilarious.
Well, we'll see, because she does like similar type stuff.
Killing Eve, right? She writes Killing Eve?
Yeah, she did the first season, and then she took a step back from the second season to do Fleabag.
Yeah, so...
But yeah, it's, I mean, love the cast. I mean, we got Ana de Armas, so hot right now.
Yeah.
And
in more ways than one.
Oh, again, gosh, you're on fire, Matt. You know,
well,
stand-up comedian. You should get sick more often.
I should. Yeah, I guess I have a clearer head when I'm sick and have the flu.
I love Lashana Lynch. I loved her in Captain Marvel last year. She was like the best part of Captain Marvel for me.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking forward to her being literally the new 007.
Yeah.
So,
well, see how that goes. Well, you heard what they said is that 007, James Bond, is a male, so they'll never make him a female. But
I know, I'm like very curious. Which is interesting,
yeah.
To see like what they mean by that, because there are also leaks that Lashana Lynch is like the new 007, but she's not James Bond,
right,
obviously.
Right.
She's not Bond.
Right.
And so I don't know what all this means, and I'm very curious.
Yeah.
This movie better be better than Spectre.
Oh God, I hope so. Oh.
Cause that was,
that was trash. Bad. That was trash. Like,
yeah.
And I know they're bringing Christopher Waltz back for, to play Blofeld. Like, I'm just like, can we just leave Blofeld in the past? I'm like, I'm done recycling old characters. I really like the new characters I bring in.
Well, I'm a little nervous because I think the title is a hint to Dr. No, and I think Rami Malek or somebody might be Dr. No.
Dr. No, yeah. Yeah. So just kind of like starting it all over again.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's the last one with Daniel Craig, so who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, who knows? We'll see.
Either way, yeah, that's definitely.
Can I put there. You on this? Can I put you on the spot real quick?
Yeah.
Who do you want to replace Daniel Craig?
Richard Madden.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
Yeah. Do
I
you
like
have
that
one?
Choice. I really like Taron Egerton.
Yeah.
I think he's a very talented guy, and I like him. I really liked him in Kingsman. I don't know.
Do you think that's too similar to Bond? I just thought about that. I don't know.
Yeah, I do. But I kind of feel like Kingsman was like his test or like his like audition for Bond.
For Bond, yeah.
Yeah. And I think he passed with flying colors. But I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think that'd be great
I would have never thought Daniel Craig. And I thought, you know, he's been one of the best Bonds. No one will ever replace Sean Connery. But I thought Daniel Craig did just a hell of a job.
I'd not argue some of the best my movies. Favorite. Oh my God! No, I disagree. I think Skyfall is my favorite Bond movie.
Oh no! I'm saying like he did some great movies, but like he also did some real duds, like Quantum of Solace, Inspector. Like, I mean, obviously, like Sean Connery didn't like do all amazing Bond movies, but like Quantum of Solace was terrible. Spectre was terrible. But I will say, like Casino Royale is like one of my favorite movies of all time. I did like Skyfall a lot. I didn't love it as much as you did. Am I missing any?
No, Inspector.
Yeah. So it's like up, down. So
yeah, I'm middle of the road on Quantum of Solace, but I think
Quantum of Solace.
I think Spectre's bad. I think the worst offense that Quantum of Solace is that it's kind of boring.
It's so boring
for
it's
a Bond movie.
Yeah, it's terribly boring. But that was like released during like the smack dab middle of the writer's strike.
Yeah.
So yeah. Didn't have much going for it, but Casino Royale is like. Just, I think Casino Royale is like a perfect movie.
Yeah, I think Casino Royale and Skyfall are flawless.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So I'm hoping that the trajectory goes right back up.
Yeah. Hopefully. So anyway, I think we've talked about No Time to Die.
I know.
And well, I'm sure we'll have clearly. A whole episode on it when we see it.
We're both looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Too.
So what is your number one movie?
My number one movie is Dune.
Yeah. Yeah, I was teetering between Dune and No Time to Die, but I figured you were going to say Dune. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to let Andrew have his time to shine.
Well, should also make clear, too. So No Time to Die comes out in April, and Dune doesn't come out until December, until next year.
Yeah, it just got pushed back from June, correct? June or July?
It was supposed to originally come out December 2019, and then I think they pushed it. They may have pushed it to summer.
I thought they pushed it back to summer, and then they pushed it again to December.
Yeah, it's been December now for a few months.
Yeah, I think they really want to go the Oscar route with this one.
I'm not so sure.
I'm
very interested. I mean, clearly they have, you know, an interest in Oscars. Who doesn't? But Dune is weird.
Yeah,
and if Blade Runner 2049 really couldn't get any main Oscars outside of the technical categories, I don't think Dune really has a shot.
But I think, we'll see. I don't know much about this project going into it. But I know, like, well, I'm going off, like, Denis Villeneuve, who's directing it. Arrival was like, you know, just swept all the awards, nominations wise. But yeah, Blade Runner was like just a weird movie. And so I don't know. We'll see. Maybe he has another big hit on his hands with this. So
yeah.
I remember like Blade Runner like did not perform that well either.
No.
And I feel like it was like not really wanted as much as Dune is wanted.
Okay. So this is where the similarities between Blade Runner and Dune are. Mm-hmm. So both were movies that came out in the 80s too.
Yeah.
And they both have like very passionate fan bases. But the Dune film was not regarded that well. It was, it just like they said it like really couldn't translate to film. I think it was like a David Lynch film. I've seen it, and I don't think it's bad. I think it definitely could use a good 2020 adaptation.
Yeah.
But so now, but its reputation has grown over like the 3 decades mm-hmm. because the book is so popular.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Blade Runner had a cult following with its like with the film goers, and the original Blade Runner made like no money, and people thought over time that the fans like really built up over word of mouth over 30 years, and so a sequel like might actually make some money. Guess what? It didn't make any money.
It didn't make any money. No.
Yeah. So they completely overestimated the popularity of Blade Runner 24 or Blade Runner in general. So I don't think the original Dune really made that much money either. So I don't know if this is going to be a big hit or not.
Yeah. I think the more they start, we got to see what it's like, but the more they start teasing it, how excited people are. They just really got to start testing the waters here. I mean, not soon because it's obviously doesn't come out until December, but yeah, I mean, we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. I obviously can't wait. The cast like just looks amazing.
Timothy Chalamet, Oscar Zendaya.
So, I'm gonna be honest with you. Like, I don't really know much about Dune. I've never seen the original. I don't know if I really want to know much. Just because I want to like build that anticipation for myself for the movie. I don't really kind of like, I don't want to read the book. I'm like one of these people, like, I know it sounds like a cop out, but like, I do not want to read the book because I don't want to ruin the movie for myself. I'm not against reading. I do like have an interest in reading. I just do not want to ruin like the film going experience for myself. The last time I did that, like, was with Shutter Island, or like, besides like Harry Potter and like Mockingjay and all that. I read Shutter Island like right before I saw the movie, and like, it kind of ruined the movie for me because I knew everything that was about to happen. Okay,
so Shutter Island has a twist ending too. So.
I know, but like, and I also like, what else did I read? What was the movie with Viggo Mortensen? It's like about the end of the world.
The Road.
Yeah, I read The Road like just before I saw the movie, and it was like, again, it's like, okay, this isn't that interesting because like I feel like I just saw this because I read the book. So. I don't know. I know that's weird. Like, I have a different, like, it sounds weird, but yeah. It's not a cop-out, I promise. I like reading.
You heard it here first. Matt hates reading.
Yeah, it's true. I hate reading.
He would make a great guest on Work Cited from friend of the pod, Carly.
At Real Carly Dudek. We'll make sure to tag you.
No, I am going to read Dune this year. It's on my shelf right now. It is a long book.
I know. Yeah, that's another thing that brings me out. There's a lot of Dune books too. Like, it's not just one.
It's
like
a whole series.
Yeah. And like, I tried to like look at all the Dune books, and I'm like, where do I even start with this?
Well, Dune.
Well, yeah, but I couldn't even like find the original Dune. There's just so many.
I think it's just called Dune.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm being an ass.
So maybe I'll look into it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Convince me to read it, and maybe I'll read it.
I will when I finish it. Probably it'll take me months to finish because it's like 1,000 pages.
Yeah. But anyway, back to the cast. So the goddess herself, Rebecca Ferguson, is in it. Cannot wait for that. And Zendaya. And then nobody else really matters. So yeah. And Charlotte Rampling.
Oscar nominee.
Oscar nominee, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of good people in it. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, my love for Timothée Chalamet.
Uh-huh, yeah, I know.
And this will be interesting, too, because Timothée Chalamet clearly has a following, but I would call it somewhat of a cult following. Like, it's the people who love Timothée Chalamet are, like, generally, like, indie movie favorites, because Little Women is probably his most mainstream movie to date. Mm-hmm. And this is clearly a franchise, like trying to set off a franchise. So yeah. We'll see how Timothée Chalamet kind of translates into A-lister, potential A-lister status. We'll see.
I think he already is an A-lister. He is very, very popular, especially
among people like you and me, like our types of people. Yes.
Yeah.
But, and like generally young people, but I mean, he's still that age where he's doing like, he's still like coming of age type mm-hmm. stories. Mm-hmm. So he definitely needs a sort of movie to help him transition into more of a leading role.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. Definitely. Definitely. I'm interested to see where his career will take off once he's in the big leagues. So,
yeah. He has another movie coming out this year that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
Which is going to be an Oscar play.
Oh,
for sure. Okay. So it's called The French Dispatch.
Okay.
And, which is funny because Timothée Chalamet himself is French.
Uh-huh.
It's a Wes Anderson movie, which I don't love Wes Anderson. I know.
Well, you got to suck it up.
But I'm looking forward to it because it's Timothée Chalamet.
Yeah, I know.
And the premise sounds really cool too. It's kind of a dramedy. It takes place about like a French dispatch. Mm-hmm. So like a journalist in like some fictional French city. And it's kind of about like collecting all their stories. I have a feeling it's going to be somewhat of like a big supporting cast, like Frances McDormand's in it. So like, she'll probably have like a role to Adrien Brody, again, collaborator with Wes Anderson a lot. So
yeah.
I think it's just going to be like a bunch of vignettes is my guess. But we'll see.
Yeah. Well, as long as Bill Murray's in it, that's all that matters.
He is. Kate Winslet, Saoirse Ronan, Elizabeth Moss.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
Willem Dafoe, Christoph Waltz.
Oh, well. Wow. Is Jason Schwartzman in it?
I mean, of course.
Of course he is. Okay. Of course he is.
So I think that'll be an Oscar play for sure.
Yeah. Speaking of Oscar plays and Timothée Chalamet, it does... Find Me is coming out 2021, right? Call Me By Your Name.
No, that's not official at all.
It's not. Oh, I thought it was. I thought. Is the book out? The book's out, right?
The book just came out this past fall.
Yeah. So, I thought the movie was announced for next year. So maybe I'm wrong.
And having read the book now, he would barely be in it, truthfully.
Oh, really?
So
I don't know anything about the book, so.
Yeah, he would be a supporting role. Mm-hmm. If they had a sequel to Call Me By Your Name movie, I think I just get the feeling they would go a completely separate route than mm-hmm. what the book Find Me is. So
Yeah.
Just knowing what I know.
Yeah.
Okay. I try not to give anything away.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious to see where the story goes. So Did you like it? Did you like it just as much as Call Me By Your Name?
I like Call Me By Your Name more, but I liked the ending of Find Me. It's like split up into four segments.
Is it happier?
Yeah.
Okay. That's all that matters. Because I cannot stand the ending of Call Me By Your Name. It gets like, why are you going to end it there? It's so sad. But
actually,
poor kid, broken heart.
I recently rewatched Call Me By Name for our Best of the Decade.
Oh, really? How many times is this now? 93, 94?
Three. I've only seen it three times.
Really?
And because it's like really, really special to me. So I don't want to become desensitized to it.
Oh, okay.
And I'm always like afraid I'm gonna like it less, but yeah. It's the contrary. Every time I've watched it, I end up liking it more and more.
Yeah.
To your point about the ending being like super sad, I will say I do think there is a difference between sad and optimistic too. Mm-hmm. I think you can be both. I think you can be sad and optimistic. And spoiler alert for Call Me By Your Name, but when he finds out, like when Elio finds out Oliver is getting married at the end of Call Me By Your Name, he sits by the fireplace and cries for 6 minutes.
It's so sad. Yeah.
I really like that because it's like very cathartic, and the last line, the credits are playing over like his face in the fireplace, and like the last line is his parents calling him for dinner. So literally the last word of the film and like the last frame is his parents saying Elio, and then he kind of like looks away and like goes off to dinner. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a life goes on sort of way. And I just love that it ends on the word Elio, because the title of the movie is Call Me By Your Name. So
yeah.
Anyway, yeah. I love the optimistic part of it too, because he has his 6 minutes of sulking, but then he goes on and does other things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's where the optimism comes in for me.
Yeah. I don't know. I did not feel optimistic at the end of the movie. I just felt heartbroken and lost, and I don't know where, because I put myself in his shoes and I'm just like, I don't even know what I would do with my life like from here, but I don't know.
Because
it doesn't take you to the next day, it just takes you to that moment in time where it's just like,
do you want to know
it just settles.
Know spoilers for the book Call Me By Your Name?
Oh, well, yeah, that statute of limitations is up, so sure, go ahead.
Yeah, and so the book ends very differently than the movie. The book essentially has an epilogue where Elio, like years later, like decades later, goes to visit Oliver as adults, and they kind of reconnect, but Oliver is married. And at the end, like the very last lines of the book, he kind of tests Oliver to like the Call Me By Your Name trick. So he like calls himself Elio and see if like Oliver will call himself Oliver. Mm-hmm. Vice versa. But
no, yeah, I get it, yeah.
And so, but Oliver doesn't take the bait. He doesn't do it. And so at the end of the book, Elio is like, if I was like really that special to you, you would call me by your name. And so essentially he says that. So I think that's even sadder. That's
really sad.
That's,
yeah. I'm glad they didn't put that in. Jeez. Yeah,
that's like depressing and hopeless.
Yeah. Yeah. That probably did not test well with test audiences.
Well,
if they filmed it,
it would have been weird too, because
it would have been weird.
You have like Timothy Chalamet, who has a boyish face, and they would have had to age him up like 2 decades, it just would have been off. And that's why I think where they ended it in the movie is perfect. And Andre Osterman, the author of Call Me By Your Name, like, is actually jealous of the movie. He's like, I wish I thought of that. So he loves, he actually, I think he prefers the ending to the movie, to the book. Anyway, this is not a Call Me By Your Name podcast.
Yes, this tangent, like, so anyway, back to
because you thought Find Me was going to come out this year.
Yeah, sorry. Next year. But okay, yeah. Anyway.
One other book that I did read that I'm excited for the adaptations coming out this year, Hillbilly Elegy.
Mm-hmm. Never heard of it.
Oh, really? So
maybe I have, and I'm just
it was a very popular book after the 2016 election, because it's this like true story based on the author J.D. Vance, who grew up in like Appalachia. So it's kind of about like the people of like Ohio and Kentucky and like rural values. And so like Trump voters, basically. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people read this book like right after the 2016 election, because it spoke to like what these voters are thinking. But the story itself is like a contained story. It's a autobiography of J.D. Vance. So so the movie is going to have Amy Adams and Glenn Close trying going for Oscar again. And the character Glenn Close is playing is definitely the best character in the whole thing. So she plays Mamaw, this kind of like fast talking Appalachian woman. And so it's it'll be very interesting, very good, kind of about rural life in Ohio, Southern Ohio and Kentucky.
Sounds thrilling.
It is. It's very good. A lot of conservatives like love this book, and a lot of liberals like to say they have like conservative cred because they read Hillbilly Elegy. Okay. They tried to get J.D. Vance to run for Senate in Ohio, but he declined. He's pretty young. He's like late 30s.
Yeah,
or young for a senator at least.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at the cast now, and Gabriel Basso's in it. He was in The Kings of Summer, a movie I really like. Mm. But he was a lot younger then, so.
I don't know who's going to play the kid, the main character. So.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. Well, so Gabriel Basso plays J.D. Vance. I don't know.
That's him.
Yeah. So that's, that's what's interesting. Yeah.
It's directed by Ron Howard. So,
That's okay. So it'll be great.
And it's going to be on Netflix. So it'll be easily accessible.
Yeah.
So I think that looks, sounds really good. That's going to be an Oscar play too, for sure.
Yeah. So I guess maybe I will, I have kind of like a list of like big movies I'm looking forward to, not like indie stuff. To be honest, it's very small.
that way we won't be talking for like 80 minutes.
Exactly. Like maybe I just haven't had time to sit down and look at all the movies coming out this year. But like, I know for me, like I'm kind of excited for the new Ghostbusters. I'm not really a huge Ghostbusters fan, but I'm very interested to see what they do with this. It's Jason Reitman, right?
Yeah. Do you want to know my opinion on this?
Do I have a choice?
Now that I put it out there in the universe, I think I'm like gonna give up on Ghostbusters.
That's a good idea.
Because why do we keep trying to make Ghostbusters happen? Because even the second Ghostbusters wasn't that popular, and then we come back and they remade it with the all-female cast, which I thought was a great idea.
I thought the remake was fine.
So like, I didn't see the new remake. The one with Kristen Wiig.
I thought it was fine. I liked it. I know. I enjoyed it.
But like I support the idea, and but like the toxic internet like threw all of them under the bus for no reason whatsoever, other than the fact that they're women, and then the whole thing just became toxic, and everyone like had to choose camps to the point where they essentially won, like the trolls won, because they're like, we're going to make another Ghostbusters, but forget about this other reboot that we just did a year ago. So, and like now this is how we got this movie. So I'm like, I'm done with Ghostbusters. Like even the original sequel was, even though I kind of like it, it's not like, it's nowhere near where the first one is. So it's like it's been 30 plus years. Let's just give it up.
Sorry. Okay.
That's yeah. Right, and well, it's not then a comedy. The trailer is not a comedy. Like it's going to be like Stranger Things.
Yeah. No. It will be a comedy. They just got to get to that point where they're like ready to release the trailer as a comedy. I think it will be. They're not taking this that seriously. Like, let's be real here.
It looks like well made. It looks like a.
Yeah. Like it looks like a good movie. Like
yeah.
Not like the original Ghostbusters.
No, I mean like. I just existentially, I don't like care for its existence, but like production wise.
Can fine. I say something like controversial? Like, I'm really getting sick and tired of McKenna Grace being in everything.
Oh my God. I know.
I'm kind of over her. So I would like that's kind of a turnoff for me for the new Ghostbusters.
She's like the only part I don't like about I, Tonya.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. She's like, she like started as a thing and won't go away. She's just like literally plays like every single young blonde girl ever. Like she's like the young Sabrina, like in some of the episodes. Like she's in like,
Wasn't
she's
she
like,
in Haunting of Hill House?
She was in Haunting of Hill House. Yeah, she was in she was in like the new Annabelle. She's like in like a ton of stuff like on Netflix and stuff, and like she's in she was in Captain Marvel. Like, come on, like can we just like find a lane and like just pick one movie?
Her, oh my god, her parents have got to be doing like crazy circuit scenes.
Probably, yeah, I'm sure. Like she just like I'm sure like she's like going to be a very talented actress one day, but like
will she though? Has she?
I don't know. Really,
has she been good at anything?
I'm just so sick of.
No, I agree.
Sick of hearing her voice and seeing her face.
I agree. I don't think she's that great of a
kind of an actor. So so that's just me. But anyway, enough about Ghostbusters. So I just like I'm also excited. Like the new trailer for Wonder Woman, by the way, like was phenomenal, and I can't wait for Wonder Woman. Yeah,
same.
So
yeah,
cannot wait. Looks incredible. I don't know. Do you have anything you want to talk about?
Like sequels and franchises.
Yeah.
I mean, excited to see like Scarlett Johansson and Florence Pugh and Black Widow.
Mm-hmm.
Those are probably like the only really things I'm really looking forward to. I guess A Quiet Place Part 2.
Yeah. I'm excited for A Quiet Place.
I wasn't as high as on A Quiet Place as most people, but I still enjoyed it.
I wasn't either, because like that same year, like literally 2 months later, Hereditary came out, and like nobody cared about Hereditary, but it like ran circles, like horror movie wise, around A Quiet Place, I thought. And like everyone was like all obsessed with A Quiet Place. Then like everyone was like obsessed with Bird Box. I'm like, why do you care about these movies? Hereditary is so great. And like, I live for this kind of stuff. And like you people on Twitter, like don't even care. Like all of you just suck. So... Anyway.
A lot of film Twitter will stick up for Hereditary, at least, but outside of that. Yeah.
Like, the basic, like, plebes, like, get over
yourself. Basic.
Yeah, basic, yeah. So, like, if we're sticking with, like, franchise and sequels, Conjuring 3 is coming out. Love the first two Conjurings. Cannot wait. Disney Pixar is having two movies this year, Onward and Soul. Onward is with... What's his face?
Chris Pratt and Tom Holland.
Tom yeah. So I guess that's about like fairy tales and like them all living together, like in like this fairy tale land. So that should be interesting. I don't know. And Soul.
Onward is definitely going to be sad.
Yeah. Well, both of them are going to be sad.
Oh, it's Pixar, of course.
Yeah. They're going to be like just so upsetting. Soul, like, tells the story of this like school teacher who loves jazz music, and he dies and makes his way to heaven. So yeah, that's going to be another tearjerker. Can't wait for, let me see here. Marvel and like superhero wise, like I know we've got quite a bit this year, so we've got to deal with like Venom and Morbius. Did I say deal with? I mean like enjoy. Venom Venom and Morbius, two of Spider-Man's villains, are getting their own independent movies. Well, Venom is going to be a sequel, and Morbius is a he's like an anti-hero like vampire guy who's like a quote-unquote villain of Spider-Man, but he's also like in a main character in Blade. So I'm kind of curious, like I don't know if they're going to introduce the new Blade in this or not. We'll see. I
would be surprised.
Yeah, Jared Leto actually looks phenomenal. He looks really good as Morbius. The movie looks interesting. I'm curious to see it.
I love this time of year because like we're actually excited about movies.
Yeah, I know.
And then like at the end of the year, we're like, well, that was shit.
Well, that was terrible. Yeah. Like, yeah. Why? Like, oh, and speaking of shit and garbage, New Mutants is coming out in April.
Oh my god, that trailer was god awful.
Yeah, like, can we just like end it with Dark Phoenix? Why do we have to release this? Can we just leave it on the cutting room floor? But
I got to be honest, I'm surprised we're seeing this movie at all.
Yeah, me too.
Convinced that it was never going to come out.
I am shocked. 20th Century Fox is like still on board with this.
Oh, it is no longer 20th Century Fox. Did you know this?
No. Is it officially Disney?
No, they have gotten rid of the Fox in all of the Fox titles. Disney did. Disney owns 20th Century Fox, but they don't want to be associated with Fox News anymore because it's the same media empire. So it's now just like 20th Century Pictures, I believe.
Okay, that's weird. I got to get used to that. So.
I know. It's going to take me a while to get used to. Same thing goes for Fox Searchlight.
Yeah. Just so, Searchlight now?
I think Searchlight? It's or like Searchlight Pictures Searchlight or something.
Films. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's going to take some time, but yeah. It's starting with like movies this year that they're releasing.
Yeah.
Anyway, I forget. So that's where New Mutants is being released.
Yeah. Okay, well, we have that to look forward to.
to shit on. Can I shit on a movie that looks bad? Call of the Wild.
Oh, is that with Harrison Ford?
Yes.
Oh, that looks terrible. Oh, looks so bad. Like, and they're doing like, what's the other one they have like coming out on Netflix? It looks like Balto with like
Togo.
Yeah, yeah.
That one looks good, I think. And it's amazing. It's Disney Plus.
It's
with Willem Dafoe. Yeah. And it's amazing to me just like how much better that one looks, even though it's like being released on streaming. Is I think it all comes down to one thing, and it's the dog. Yeah. So they use a real life dog in Togo, and it's believable, like the way that they go through the story. But in Call of the Wild, it is a CGI dog, and you know it's CGI.
Yeah.
And it's all you do is like look at it and like, this looks dumb. And it's just totally not right in any sort of way. And probably, I know the book is beloved, but.
Yeah, yeah. And when I saw the trailer, I was like, when I first saw the trailer, I read the book a long time ago. But I was like, is this.
Oh, you do read.
I do read, yes. Well, no, that was like mandatory reading, I think, back in middle school. But when I first saw the trailer, when I first came on, I was like, is this Call of the Wild? I'm like, what did they do to that dog?
They make it look like really family friendly. And as I understand it, the book is like pretty intense.
Yeah, yeah. No, the book is amazing. The book is great. It's a very intense, heavy read. Well, for like a kid, but yeah. So
like the way that like The Giver is kind of intense,
right? Yeah. But I will not be seeing.
Nor will I.
Call of, yeah. No, I'm good. So yeah.
Yeah. I'm also to see any movie where a dog is heavily featured at the moment.
Yeah. No.
After. I recently had a dog bite me. So
oh no.
Very, very difficult to watch people like have their face close to dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can see why. So, so sorry.
Yeah.
Glad you're doing okay.
I am, but thank you for asking. Yeah,
and glad this is a podcast and not a TV show. So
yes,
you don't have to share
documentary.
Your face. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, we truly have voices for the radio,
and you have a face for radio.
Oh, no. Can I give a shout out to a movie I know almost nothing about, but I'm just in for?
Go for it.
This movie called Bios, starring Tom Hanks, and it's like about like the last man on Earth and his android and his dog to keep him company.
Oh, great! Another dog movie.
I know, but it's with Tom Hanks and it's directed by Miguel Sapochnik, who directed like all the best episodes of Game of Thrones, like The Long Night, Battle of the Bastards, Winds of Winter, like. All of the bells, like all these classic Game of Thrones episodes are directed by Miguel Sapochnik. And so I'm like really looking forward to see what he does for this end of the world type science fiction movie with Tom Hanks. So
yeah, well,
I'm in.
Well, Call of the Wild is with Harrison Ford and directed by Chris Anders, who I don't know. He wrote Lilo and Stitch. So
I love Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, any more dog movies you want to bring up, or are we done with that?
I can't. None that I know of.
Let me see here. So, so apparently, like, two big DC movies were supposed to come out this year. I don't know if they still are, but I know they were supposed to do a solo Cyborg film and a solo, or not a solo, but another Green Lantern movie called The Green Lantern Corps. I haven't heard much about them, but I think they're being pushed back.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Yeah, but how do you feel about The Eternals? Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, I like the cast, and I'm excited about the director, Chloe Zhao.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I'm more optimistic about...
It's a female director. We're not giving her any recognition, so... Let's not...
Well, that's what I like, that Marvel is, like, recognizing, like, diverse talent, and they're opening it up much more.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. Well, not just Marvel, but I feel like Disney as a whole. But yeah, you got two Game of Thrones actors in The Eternals. You got Richard Madden and Kit Harington.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you can't wait.
Yeah. For obvious reasons.
Yeah.
And what's her name? Maisie Williams is in New Mutants.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh
not
yeah.
Not to mention like Sophie Turner was in.
Yeah, they're all going to
They're
superhero.
All yeah.
They're all selling out.
Not only superhero, they're all going to X-Men
yeah,
type
really.
Movies.
Oh yeah, like team superhero, yeah.
Yeah.
So I wanted to go back real quick to Tom Hanks. He's actually like writing this new movie called Greyhound.
Wasn't that on your Oscar list?
It was on my Oscar list for past or this
the prediction list.
Yeah, the predictions list. So I'm actually kind of looking forward to it. I think it like is going to be really good, and like not much is known about it yet, but it's pretty much about like a Navy officer who commands a Greyhound during World War II. And a Greyhound is like a U-boat, right? Like a submarine. So, I don't know. We'll see.
You're the one who knows about it.
Yeah, yeah. <I don't... laughs> I'm excited. It's just Tom Hanks and Tom Hanks war movie. So we'll see. It should be good. So I don't know if there's much else out there that you want to talk about.
I will spare you talking about my excitement for Tenet.
Tenet? Well, you can talk about it.
No.
Oh, it's Christopher Nolan. No,
it's Christopher Nolan. Yeah. Christopher Nolan with John David Washington and Robert Pattinson, Elizabeth Debicki. He has got a great cast on his hands. Yeah. So, and like a $200 million budget, and the trailer is weird and everything you would expect from a Nolan film. So Matt will hate it and I will love it.
Yeah, well. Inception sucked, Interstellar was worse, and this is going to be garbage. So that's my prediction.
Heard it here first.
Yeah, that's my prediction. It's going to be terrible. Actually, I'm just going to go into it with a negative attitude, and I'm probably going to hate it. So, yeah, that's me. What else?
We're on the kind of the other end of the spectrum. We haven't really talked about any musicals.
So you want to lead to West Side Story, so...
Well, I was going to lead with In the Heights.
Oh.
So.
Oh, okay.
I think the In the Heights trailer is sublime and one of the best trailers I've seen in a long time. And I'm very much looking forward to it. It's obviously Lin-Manuel Miranda kind of like riding off the Hamilton high. But In the Heights won the Tony like back in 2008. So... It's like it's got a following already, and it's like just the right time to release it.
Well, yeah, it's a very much a commentary on this administration.
Yeah, they're like adding. Well, it's funny because Donald Trump is like a line in one of the songs in the Heights, and they're definitely going to change that.
Yeah,
but because it came out in 2008.
Yeah,
but they are. I have a feeling In the Heights is going to be very successful and very popular. And I think that might end up taking away from West Side Story.
Do you think so? Okay.
Yeah. We'll see, because never underestimate Steven Spielberg.
I was going to say never underestimate the power of Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
And a Steven Spielberg musical. I'm pretty excited for West Side Story. it's been a long time since I've seen the original, but you know my love for Steven Spielberg, and I don't know. I think he's really trying to get his best director Oscar this year. I think he's really trying to go for it.
Yeah, I mean, musicals are so hot right now, literally.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and I think, and you know, Ansel Elgort's hot too. So we'll see.
Yeah. And he's like yet to connect with Oscar voters.
Yeah. So I think this will go either really good or going to be really bad.
It's hard to imagine. I don't think it's really going to be bad.
I don't think it's going to go like the Cats route, but like, yeah. I don't know how I see like Steven Spielberg doing a musical and Ansel Elgort playing the main character. I'm not entirely sold yet, but I'm curious. A big theme of this podcast is curiosity and intrigue. I 2020 is just like, there are some interesting movies coming out this year. So.
Okay. That promises will be the last sort of big ones that I talk about. Yeah. So right now going on in Park City, Utah is the Sundance Film Festival, which is really exciting because it's mostly smaller movies, but with big stars that will be released over the course of 2020. So it really like sets the tone for the year. It's the first major film festival. I really, really wanted to go to it, but
we'll go one day. I promise.
Yeah. The ones that I'm most looking forward to are The Father, which is a movie about dementia starring Anthony Hopkins, who's supposed to be really great, and Olivia Colman. And then the other two are Zola, which is an A24 movie, which is probably the first movie ever to be based off a Twitter thread.
Uh-huh.
So about a friendship that falls apart. And then the last one that I'm mostly looking forward to is Promising Young Woman with Carey Mulligan. The trailer is out for that one. It's kind of, it's basically about... this like woman who's kind of a victim of like predatory men, and people like say stuff like, oh, you're like such a promising young woman, like what did you do with your life? And so it's kind of like a revenge movie, so I'm very excited for that. Love Carey Mulligan, so those are like the really cool things from Sundance, and it's still going on, so there still could be more to come out.
I haven't like really dived much into Sundance that much this year, but I know one movie I'm really looking forward to is Charm City Kings from Barry Jenkins. I know has a part from writing it, and it's about like the streets of bike riders in the streets of Baltimore. I have a connection with Baltimore because I went to school up there, but yeah, it's kind of like. I don't want to compare it to The Wire because it's, you know, not The Wire, but it's about like this biker gang who like rule the streets of Baltimore, and then like this guy, it's like the gang's called like the Midnights, and the leader Blacks takes this 14-year-old under his wing, and finds himself like torn like between doing the right and wrong thing. It's got a pretty unknown cast. Jahi Diallo, Winston, Meek Mill, Will Catlett. So we'll see. I'm interested in it. See how it does. It could be big. It could be very tiny. We'll see.
Barry Jenkins, though, Mr. Lulu Wong.
Yeah, there you go.
Did you know they were dating? I didn't know that.
No, I did not know.
Lulu Wong and Barry Jenkins. I know. Like what a couple. Wow.
Yeah. Really. Yeah. So. Yeah, so another one I guess I'm interested in is Palm Springs. It was directed by Max Barbacow, and it stars J.K. Simmons and Andy Samberg. So, like two people absolutely adore. What were you gonna say?
No, I heard it's good. It's like a Groundhog Day.
Yeah. So I'm excited for that.
I love. I don't know much else. I I'm kind of upset that I didn't get to go to Sundance now looking at these movies, because I'm like, oh, some of these sound like really, really good. But yeah. I'm poor.
But so I'm so poor.
I can't afford like being in a ski resort in Utah. Yeah. Please.
Yeah. So anyway, I unfortunately have to wrap this up, as much as I would love to talk about 2020 movies. Yeah, just a lot to look forward to this year. I'm pretty excited, and I don't know. We'll see how it goes. And I guess we'll keep you updated all year long on the movies we see and our thoughts on them. And we'll come back at the end of the year and make a top 10 like we did this year. So
yeah, this is our one episode where we're like actually agreeing on most things and happy.
I know. Yeah. Well,
that will change.
That will soon change. So, all right. Well, thanks so much for joining us. Anything else?
Yeah. Next week, we'll be back with our Oscar predictions episode.
Yeah.
So
stay tuned. 2 weeks to go. Or a week and a half now.
So, stay tuned. You'll win your Oscar pool if you listen to this podcast.
Exactly. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.